Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success.
Well, good evening, everybody. We are on audio. Hi, Dr. Art.
Hello. I'm glad to be somewhere. Even audio is good.
Well, you know, folks, the best laid plans, Comcast is not working in our area, and neither, for some reason, is our connection to Verizon, which we should be able to use. So we don't know what's going on with the whole system, but we decided, you know what, good old telephone, we're going to call in. So, Dr. Art, how was your trip?
Well, it was good. It started off really great. We're headed toward North Carolina to visit my sister. And then her son called and said, don't come. My wife has COVID. So all of a sudden, the whole trip got really mushed around. But we had a good time. Anyway, after a week on the road, I was ready to be home.
I bet you were. I bet you were. Well,
yeah.
I just want to reiterate for the folks what this show is about and
yeah.
why they're listening to us. The New Reality Show. What? Did you say something, Dr. Art?
No.
Oh, okay. The New Reality Show is the brainchild of myself and Dr. Art because we wanted to help people, and we wanted to be able to provide a lot of the information on alternative therapies that both of us have been familiar with for many, many years, particularly in the area of mindset, emotions, and how to live a better life. And so if you don't know who we are, our bios are on the show page, so we won't bore you with all the details except to say that Dr. Art is a well-known and very accomplished hypnotherapist and coach and NLP expert. I am also an expert coach in NLP, and I help people particularly with addictions and more specifically with stress, overeating, and food addiction. But we have this show to allow people to call in and ask questions directly, not just of us, but of our guests. And if you would like, get your questions ready because we have a really, really exciting guest coming up. Write down these numbers. It's dialing toll-free 1-888-627-6008. Or direct outside of the U.S., 1-323-744-4831. So I'm thrilled to have you back, Dr. Art, and I would like to do the intro to our guest, unless there's something you want to add to what I just said.
Well, I would like to, before we get started, I don't want to steal his thunder, and we were going to do this tip of the week, and I have a tip of the week. Would this be a good time to put that in or later, do you think?
It would be awesome. Yes. I'm so glad you're doing that. We want everybody to get used to having a tip of the week, so absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Dr. Chris and I have in our, I think we figured out embarrassingly, almost 100 years of experience between us, but we collect things that you can do to have a better life, to take the strain off of you mentally, emotionally, physically, whatever. And one of the things that we found out is that it's very important to be goal-oriented. So you need to know what do you want? What is it that you want? So I came up with a little four-word test that you can give yourself periodically during the day. Whenever you decide that you want to do something or you decide that you're not going to do something, ask yourself this one question, four words, toward or away from? And if what you're doing or not doing is taking you towards your goal, then that's great. If it's taking you away from and you decide to do it anyway, you will fail consciously. We want you to know what's going on in your world. There's a conscious world you live in and an unconscious. That four-word question, toward or away from, will really keep you focused on your goal. So please use that when you have a chance to make a decision about doing or not doing. That would be the question to ask.
I love that, Dr. Art, because I know exactly when I'm cleaning house and I should be working on business.
Right.
So I can very much relate to that. Oh, my gosh. I bet a lot of people can. That's a great tip.
And we know that you are not put on the planet to clean house and do clothes.
No, so, no, I would not.
Definitely need to be done, but that's not the main point.
I love it. I love it. Well, let me introduce our amazing guest. Very proud of this young man. I'm very excited to introduce you to Zachary Herman. And Zach has experienced going through a personal transformation of his own and in his young life, which some of you may be struggling with yourselves. I know his story will not only inspire you, but help you discover ways you too can overcome low confidence, self-doubt, and feeling like you don't fit in. Recovering from a childhood of being ruthlessly mocked for his weight, Zach has been on a crusade, from discovering his confidence through the martial arts, live performance, and eventually personal training and nutrition coaching. Zach knows not only how the body works, but what it takes to overcome big hurdles of self-doubt, inner turmoil, and confidence issues. Now a successful personal trainer and musical theater actor, graduate of Carnegie Mellon University School of Drama, Zach coaches high-performance people to their fittest. Since he arrived in New York City, he's had the pleasure to work with models, professional dancers, and performers of the Broadway community. He specializes in removing any and all obstacles in the path of his clients' highest levels of success. As Zach says, if you bring the body, the mind will follow. Zach calls himself the Fitness Mindset Jedi, and he epitomizes the kinds of amazing young people who are coming up in the world today. You'll have an opportunity to call in and ask him questions, and when we open up the phone lines for the show, you want to be ready to dial that number, which is 1-888, and let me get it, 627-6008. And outside the U.S., 1-323-744-4831. Welcome, Zachary.
Well, hello, hello, hello.
So happy to have you here.
That's all I had to say. Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
Friday night. Where else would I be?
Friday night. Well, I'm really sad that people can't see you on camera. But we're going to go ahead with the audio anyway, and maybe we'll have you back on the show another time. Is that okay?
It's okay. Someday they'll know what I look like. It's all good. All good.
I'll just have to hope my voice will suffice for now. Yeah. Well, I actually have a really great picture of you to promote the show with, so people do know what you look like if they saw the preview. So I'm going to dive right in. Huh?
I said fantastic.
Okay. There seems to be a delay. That's why sometimes somebody says something and I'm not sure that I've interrupted them. So, Zach, in your bio, you say you were ruthlessly mocked for your weight as a kid. So how were you able to cope with that? I know kids can be really mean.
You know, yeah, I definitely was. I mean, kids are very ruthless. They're all going through a rough time themselves. So anything they can do to kind of project that frustration out on anybody else, they're going to do it. I was absolutely mocked. And I mean, endlessly. It was kind of like every nasty thing you could say to a kid, at that age, you know, it was, you know, things like fat lard and like waste of space and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, not for nothing, I was definitely overweight and I was unhealthy, and of course, but it's something that isn't easy to recover from. It isn't easy to cope with. I think your early experiences as a human being really do kind of set a precedent for what, you know, the next few stages of your life are going to be. So it was tough. I mean, I felt like an outsider. I felt like, you know, there was no point, like I wasn't going to do anything exciting. And of course, I grew up in a time and an age where things were pretty tough in the world, too. You know, we had 9/11 when I was pretty young, and that colored an entire culture for a while. So people were really xenophobic and just like pretty nasty to anything that didn't fit a certain mold. But I eventually started to find my way out of it through various avenues that I'm sure we'll get into. But it really was finding a purpose, I think. Ultimately, it really came down to having a reason to keep going. Because without that, I really don't think I would have, you know, lost any weight or even done anything. I wasn't driven to do anything productive. You know, it can be very stunting to think of yourself as an outsider, someone who doesn't get it, can't fit in, can't figure it out, can't find success, whatever, you know, a loser. That's a very tough place to be mentally. Does that answer your question?
Could you comment on the one of the things we used to teach, and that was a business consultant for 30 years in a large corporation. And one of the things we found, if people didn't know why something, they didn't have much energy. And as soon as they found their why, it produced a lot of energy toward getting there. Does that ring a bell with you at all?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That was, you know, that was really what flipped the switch, was when I had something to fight for, even, you know, and it's for most people, it's a pipe dream. And, you know, I'm still building the career and meeting the people, but like at least having the acting bug, and it could be any bug, you know, it could be the sports bug, it could be the inventor bug, it could be the, you know, whatever, anything that gets you out of bed in the morning, like, all right, I got something that I got to get to. I got a place that I know I want my life to be. That is going to drive you to do better, even if it's incremental, even if it's hard, even if there are days where you just feel like you got to give up. You have a place where you know you should be, and that is going to drive you closer.
Yeah, there's a story we used to tell about the experiment that proved that was they hired a group of men to dig holes. And they pay them $10 an hour. And as soon as they dug the hole, they come in and say, okay, cover it up. Now dig another hole right over here. And then cover that up and dig another hole. And eventually the guy said, not doing that. They said, okay, $20 an hour. Okay, they go back and they dig a few more holes. But it got to the point where at $30 an hour, they said, we're not doing it anymore because this is stupid. It didn't go anywhere. We don't know why we're doing it. And so that why seems to really unleash an enormous amount of energy once you know, you know, you've got the goal and you know why you're working, and then that really opens up the pathways.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you turned to acting, and what happened with, well, you say that it was the martial arts that began to turn you around, but tell us kind of the progression of things that helped you with confidence with the why.
Sure. I think growing up as a kid, I wasn't the most social kid. We didn't have a lot of kids on my block. It was kind of a, I lived in Florida, so it was kind of a long drive to get to anybody's house, and both my parents worked a lot, so I was just kind of home alone. And I watched a lot of, like, Japanese cartoons, you know, anime, and they're always doing martial arts on that. You know, it's always like they have powers and, like, oh, you know, they're flipping around and they have, like, samurai swords, they have katanas, and there's, like, energy beams coming out of their hands. So that was, like, my aesthetic growing up, you know what I mean? That, like, sort of, yeah. like, super-powered samurai kind of vibe. So I got really into martial arts because it was, like, the, you know, the lowest, the possible, the highest possible grade I could get towards shooting energy beams out of my hands. So, you know what I mean? So I started working on that, and it was something. I wouldn't say it was my purpose, but it was something that I could do that gave me some sense of agency over myself, some sense of power, right? And so that was a catalyst for, like, the growth of my personality a little bit, to where I suddenly realized, oh, right, I have power and agency over myself. I can make choices about my life. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So from that, I started realizing, like, I think I've always been a little bit of, like, a punk rocker at heart, where, like, I saw the path laid before me of, like, yeah, you know, you go to school, you go to college, you get an office job, you work until you're dead. And I saw that path, and I was like, well, F that, you know? So I decided I was going to do art, and I didn't know what kind of art. The only art I really knew was, like, anime. So I started drawing and doodling in class. You know, I didn't show it to anybody, but it was just mine. It was my thing. And then I got to a crossroads at some point where I, like, started to branch out into acting because of a girl. There was a girl I had a crush on, and she went to, like, drama club after school, and I had no idea what that was, but, like, I knew that I needed to be around this girl. So I joined drama club, and I got to a crossroads where I was like, okay, I'm starting to figure out what it is that I want. And I think you yourself asked me, you know, would you rather be a starving visual artist or a starving actor? And I was like, well, I'd rather be a starving actor. So you were like, okay, well, you know, even if you made no money from it, would you do it? And I was like, yeah. And you were like, okay. So then I just went full tilt into that. And that's what I've been doing since then. I don't know. It's been like 10, 12, 15 years. I have no idea at this point.
Yeah. Wow. So when did the feeling of confidence turn around, because you even struggled with that in college when you had to compare your, I mean, you were with the cream of the crop, and
yeah.
There was this instant comparison.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I think as an artist, that doesn't go away. You know, and like, I don't think it ever will, because there will always be people, you know, who are in your lane, doing your thing, trying to make their way in the world. So that kind of comparison is not necessarily ever going to go away. You fight against it, but of course, like, it's like a little demon on your shoulder. It's always going to sit there. But
sure.
I think the confidence thing is it's a thing you work on. It's not, there's no like complete turning point, you know? Like, that mm-hmm. thing they do in the movie where, like, Peter Parker gets all the muscle, he's only confident as Spider-Man still, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get good at something, and that gives you confidence. Or you find a groove, and that gives you confidence. But there are always going to be challenging situations that come up where you're not going to be confident because you've never done it. Or there's just going to be that old mindset that you haven't worked on, or that little bit of yourself that where you haven't done the simple hard work that you need to do, right, to figure out, why do I sabotage myself like that? Or why do I tell myself this story about, you know, that I'm going to fail? And
one of the things that really in does. Hypnosis that,
go ahead.
That I use a whole lot is in hypnosis is conducting imaginary rehearsals. This idea of rehearsing is not just for actors and actresses. It's for anybody who's getting ready to do anything they've never done before, is do some imaginary movies with yourself as the star and, you know, play it this way, play it that way, so
right.
that when it does happen, you can say, oh, yeah, been here before, done that, it's okay. It's actually not like the first time at all. It's something you've practiced.
No, exactly, right? And it's like why we rehearse. It's why, you know, it's why boxers do shadow boxing, right? Because you mm-hmm. have to... I'm sure you found, you know, in doing that, that people's performance under pressure jumps, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
they don't have the stage fright. They don't have the beginner's concerns and everything. They feel a little bit more accomplished, even though they've never done it before in external reality. They've been through many, many versions in internal reality, and they get comfortable with that. It's just amazing what a difference it can make.
Well, it's really
well, it
cool
even
to me
works.
As someone... Go ahead, Zach. It's really cool to me how vivid the human imagination is. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We have this amazing... mechanism in our brain where we can like completely immerse ourselves in this fictional scenario and mm-hmm. it feels real. It feels like a real memory or a real experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The brain doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's imagined. I'm just going to take a quick station break. You're listening to the New Reality Show on BBS Radio. With Drs. Art Emmerich and Dr. Christina Winsey. We're talking to Zachary Herman, now a successful personal trainer, actor, and mentor, who's sharing his journey from self-doubt and insecurity to being a top performer in his life and how you can too. The phone lines are open shortly. We'll take a call now if Zach is ready to answer your questions about how he overcame, and we're here to help as well. And you can dial toll-free 1-888-627-6008 or direct outside of the U.S. 1-323-744-4831. So one last thing. We are so grateful to our subscribers, our faithful subscribers. Thank you so much. We do apologize for not being on camera tonight, but technology kind of kiboshed us. But if you're listening and you enjoy the show, please consider becoming a subscriber. You can go to the show page, and it's very simple, anywhere from $2.99 on up, whatever you feel to give to help us keep the lights on. So, Zach, I wonder if someone were to call in and they were struggling mm-hmm. with something similar to what, you know, if they said, hey, you know, I had the same kind of childhood or I've never been mm-hmm. able to overcome it. What would you say to them if someone were to say to you, you know, I'm sure you deal with this even in your personal training too, where people just
Absolutely.
They don't really believe that they can make that jump. What do you do?
It's so a lot of that attitude is learned, right? Because nobody's born deciding that they're going to have a bad time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, right. So it's experiential. You know, it's experiential learning. And so through personal training, a lot of the time, it's almost a... It's a microcosm of the macrocosm where you are working on something slowly where you can start to build successes. Yeah. And you can see through your effort, right? You can see the numbers go down, like on the scale, or the numbers go up by the weights you lift. And just that understanding of incremental change oftentimes is a really great way for people to understand that incremental change is not only applicable to the gym, but applicable to all of your aspects of life, whether it comes to like personal development or financial development or whatever, through, you know, applied effort over time, you are going to see drastic change. It might not feel like it in the moment. You know, you're going to do a, you know, it's like the 20th bicep curl I did. Okay, am I strong yet? No, but, you know, if you did those bicep curls and those, you know, miles on the treadmill and all of that, those body weight exercises, you did those over several months, you would see a huge change in your capability. So in personal training, that's oftentimes what we're going for. I work with a lot of high performers now where I don't really need to teach them that, you know. But I, mm-hmm. I started with people who did need that work and did need that mindset work, and I still provide it for many people where it's like, hey, this is not just get in shape. This is get in shape, figure out, you know, where you can, you know, take your life to the next level and feel like you're in command and you're in control and you understand how to take care of these things. And it's not that they don't know how, it's that they're not exercising their intelligence and they're not exercising their authority over their own self to take these actions. I hope that answers your question. I know that was a little bit of a, you know.
No, it does.
Whatever.
It does. I think that's quite true. I think there are a lot of people who are not taking responsibility. We have a, you know, my generation and even Dr. Art's generation were trained that we should just go to our doctor and get a pill. And there are a lot of people who rely on that, and they abuse themselves with the fork, or they abuse themselves with their smoking and sedentary lifestyles. And then they think that all these different pharmaceuticals are going to solve the problem.
Right. Well, you either suffer now or you suffer later, right?
Yeah. It's cultural. And then when they're asked to invest in their health, that generation, which really spans a lot of the baby boomers, Dr. Art, would you agree that that's true of your generation too?
Absolutely, and I think one of the things Zach said that's so critical for people to understand is that a lot of people get discouraged because instead of going for incremental changes that they can succeed at, they go to attack the elephant, you know, and they can't swallow that elephant, and they give up. You know, they go after the big
very much
the big kahuna, and really what they ought to be doing is, like you say, just pick out something that, you know, I'm going to start with 1 pound and then 5 and then 10 and work up to it instead of going for 50 pounds right off the bat that you're not going to be able to do.
Right.
So that
right.
idea
like
of talking people into slow down and, you know, take it easy.
It's like this idea of, like, you know, I need to cut out all sugar now. It's like that's not
right.
going to work for you. If you've been eating, if you've been having a diet or, you know, a Coca-Cola like twice a day for, you know, 6 years, that's not going to work for you. You have to do it step by step. So otherwise you'll start to go through withdrawal and, you know, lose your mind.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, just want to say, folks, the phones are open, and you can call 1-888-627-6008. Or direct outside of the U.S., 1-323-744-4831. You're listening to The New Reality Show on BBS Talk Radio. So how did you get in shape? What was your journey? I kind of know it, but...
Sure. I'll try to keep it pretty brief. It's... you know, I started with Taekwondo, And then from there, I went to acting. And I realized that was a very image-centric art form. So I just wanted to work on myself and feel better about myself and more confident about myself. So I started doing, like, you know, P90X, like workout DVDs. And then I got to the point with that where I was like, you know, I feel like I've gone about as far as I can go, but I'm still not really happy with how I feel. I wonder why that is. So then I started looking deeper, and I, you know, we kind of discussed how, oh yeah, your personal training can be your survival job while you're trying to be an actor. So then I studied and I learned like exercise science and the basic principles of, you know, how to build an exercise program. And I've been doing that for like 6 years, and I've just gotten better and better and better and more fine tuned. And, you know, I added nutrition to the bracket, and now I kind of know, I feel like I know what's up. Of course, there's so much that I don't know, but I know enough to aesthetically make people look how I want them to look or how they want to look.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at.
Were you doing this? Were you doing this in a class with other people, or kind of
No, solo? It's independent study.
Independent study, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you it's already like had a, some, you know, discipline to know how to do that then, because that a lot of people
yeah,
just
I think
don't
that,
have
I think
the,
that came from martial arts.
Okay, good, yeah. So you piggyback the skill from one area to translate it into another area. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everything connects, you know, when we're talking about that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Everything connects.
Right.
Well, it's very fitting that you chose the phrase, the fitness mindset Jedi, and it's really very fitting. How did that come about?
Ask my publicist. no, it's kind of a... It's like a good condensation, a compaction of everything that I do with training. Where, you know, if you think about the Star Wars films, they have a mental component, they have a physical component, and then they sort of have like a pseudo-spiritual component. I don't do like spirituality with people, but there is a certain level of internal like fire that you have to have. In order to get through some of the stuff that I assign, because it's hard, it's mentally demanding. And so if you don't have that burning internal why, then you're going to probably give up because it's really hard. And it should be, of course it doesn't start, you know, I don't go balls to the wall like minute one, but like eventually it gets tough. And if you don't have a reason to be doing it, then you're probably going to fall off. That's kind of where it came from.
Yeah.
Did you have some incremental goals that you could measure your progress along the way? Some specific visions of I want to be here and then I want to be here and so forth. And how did that work?
Can you expand on that a little bit? Like what are you asking?
I was just wondering. I was just wondering, a lot of people, you know, they say, well, I want to be a physical fitness Jedi, you know, but that's pretty highly advanced. So I was wondering if you had some incremental goals along the way that allowed you to feel like you were succeeding as you moved along and not waiting till the very end before you felt successful.
Okay. So, like, you know, in martial arts, they have belt rankings, right? And even in Star Wars, they have a ranking.
Yeah, that would be an example of incremental goals, is having the belts of different colors to let you know, okay, I'm progressing.
Yeah. So when you're trying to get into better shape, right, you have to set little milestones for yourself, and you have to, like, you know, celebrate, because when a Padawan moves to a Jedi, right, or they complete a big test, you know, it's like honored, and you have to honor your progress, where it's like, where am I at now? If you're realistic about that, then you can see the next step, which is like 5 feet in front of that, where it's like, let's say you're at, I don't know, let's say you're at 200 pounds and you would like to be 170 pounds. And, you know, you can only run for like 2 minutes without really getting winded. Okay. So you'll try and run for 2.5 minutes without getting really winded, and you'll try and get from 200 pounds to 195. You know, it's really basic stuff. I don't know if I'm quite getting at what you're asking. Am I?
Exactly, because a lot of people would say, okay, I'm at 200 now, my goal is 170. And so they've got a 30-pound humongous jump, you know, to make. And that idea of setting smaller incremental goals gives you the feeling of success as you're progressing along. You don't have to wait till the very last thing, you know, to say, I want to be a black belt. Well, you know, there's a lot of things between, I don't know what the belt colors are, but if you go for black belt right off the bat, that's not good. I had a fellow that was telling me about his military career, and he used to give the general all these suggestions about how it could be done this way or that way or something different or this is better or whatever. And finally, the general said, son, why don't you just do what I tell you to do? You know. And so he came back and said, well, general, I'm just trying to show you. I'm working hard. I'm thinking about this thing. And you didn't get to be a general by being a yes man. And the general thought for a minute. He said, no, I didn't. But I did get to be a captain that way. So, and then a lot of people just, you know, they're going for general and they're not even close yet. So just slow down and pick an intermediate goal. And then, you know, then you can succeed along the way.
Yeah, you have to appreciate your own successes, even when you're small.
Yeah. So, what is the first mistake people make when they start a diet?
Calling it a diet.
Good one.
Well, because it's good not. One. It can't be. You know, the word diet, right? When just remove it from humans, right? When I say the word diet, and we're just talking about organisms, what do you think of?
Food.
Food, right? But like when we're talking about like a in the animal kingdom, right? Because we're all animals, right? When we talk about an animal's diet, what are we talking about?
Just what they eat.
Right. How much do they eat that?
Mm-hmm.
Like how often do they eat that?
Yeah.
Right.
I guess
and
the
what's
first
the
thing that comes to mind. Yeah. For me, diet means I'm going to be hungry. I've got to give up stuff that I really like, and I'm not going to like it, and I'm not going to probably be able to stay with it forever. You know, like good eating programs. Should be.
Well, and so there's a lot of negative. Right, exactly. And I think that's how a lot of people, the connotation that most people think of. But when we're talking about the diet of like a dolphin, right, we're not talking about something that they do temporarily. You know, we're talking about something that they do all the time. This is what they eat all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So,
right.
We are like the only animals on the planet who can pick and choose our diet. You know? We can choose for some other animals that are our pets, but we are really the only animals for ourselves who can pick and choose what we eat at will. And that leads to a huge abundance of energy that we can just have all the time. And so you have to recognize that, like, a diet is not temporary. You don't go on the diet and then go off of the diet. That's not how life works. It's a forever thing. You know, why would I want to pick something and suffer for months and then just like eat whatever I want after that and then just gain all the weight back? Why would I want to do that? That's so counterproductive. So like,
absolutely.
Yeah. So why would you not just figure out, and it takes time and effort, of course, why would you not just figure out how to change your relationship to certain foods, or, you know, kind of change your relationship to food in general to help you, A, have the body you want, but B, also get to enjoy foods. You know what I ate today? Like, I ate, like, breakfast cereal and, like, a muffin. Like, I didn't eat, like, diet trainer foods because that's dumb. That doesn't make any sense. I ate foods that I enjoy while at the same time eating foods that I know are good for me. You know, I had eggs and turkey bacon, and I've had tons of vegetables, like all that stuff. But I didn't shove things into my mouth that I don't like, you know. I grabbed foods that I enjoy and put them in a healthier context, or in an amount that is not going to sabotage my health. If I'm sitting there, like yesterday I had a slice of pizza. Like you can eat what you want as long as you put it, have a relationship to it that isn't sacrificing your overall health long term. And if it is, you know, you need to sit back and kind of go, well, you know, if I cut out this food completely, I'm going to start craving it. How can I have a relationship to this food that is, A, still makes me happy, and B, takes care of my health? And it's a hard journey. It's a long journey, but, like, it's very worth it because I can kind of eat whatever. You know, I'm young, so, like, we'll see how that metabolism goes. But I can eat a lot of what I want and still eat healthfully and, you know, be ripped and have a six-pack and all that shit.
Well, and from a young man's perspective who's in great shape, I would agree with you. As an addictionologist, I would say that, you know, knowing the addictive nature of sugar, knowing that white flour is very also, it turns into sugar in the blood, I'm going to say that there are caveats to what you're talking about, because there are people who can't just have one. There are people who, if they start having those things, they're off and running, just like an alcoholic having one drink. So to some degree, you're right. I think, you know, there are ways to, the thing that I do with people when they first work with me is to get the cravings gone. And in order to do that, they actually do have to go on a cleansing type of program to get rid of the physiological craving, because that drives people almost as much as any, you know, mental, emotional triggers that exist.
I think you would know way better than I would on that topic. You would absolutely know way better than I would.
It has to be a combo. It just has to be a combo. I mean, I think that the people you work with are very motivated because they're dancers and actors, and for the most part, your audience, or am I wrong? I mean, you know, you work with some people who just want to look better and feel better, don't you?
Yes, I do. I think you have a much stronger knowledge base on this topic in terms of addiction. And, you know, I've worked with a few people who aren't highly motivated in that way. And it's really just about their, you know, getting better control of their health. And it really can depend, because if you're fully addicted to something, then of course, like working with an addictionologist, I think you're absolutely right. But if it's really, because now we're getting into a deeper level where it comes down to what's in our food and the way a lot of our, I mean, we could go on a whole tirade about it, but the way a lot of our food is designed is working against us, you know, just as a surface level thing. So, right, like, you know, the Cheez-Its are flavored in a way to where you're going to want to always pick up the Cheez-Its. You can't just have one because they're hyper palatable. You know, they have a lot of salt and flavoring added. Right. And you know, we can get into that, but you're absolutely right. Is that it's designed to be addictive.
Yeah, which means it's not necessarily someone's fault. I think that's the biggest thing, is the shame and the feeling that it's their fault, and trying to get them to understand, you know, which is part of the motivation, part of the coaching that you do, helps them to care about themselves and support themselves in a whole new way that they're probably not even used to.
Part of my approach is also to move things from unconscious to conscious, because you can sit down and eat a whole bag of potato chips watching a TV program and look down and say, oh my gosh, I ate the whole thing. I didn't even realize. It's because you were doing it unconsciously. So I'll ask people things like, how do you know when to start eating? And all these weird things, well, everybody else is going to eat now, so I guess I better go there. Or it was noon. That's time to eat lunch, you know. And were you hungry? No, but it was noon. And so this idea of becoming more conscious of why you do things. And the other one, how do you know when to stop eating? You know, well, when I'm full. Well, that's too late. You know, you need to stop before that. So I stopped eating when everybody else got up from the table and left, and I didn't want to be by myself, so I got up and left too. Or all these really weird things. We damage ourselves sometimes with our wristwatches. You know, we just eat by the clock, and it makes no sense at all, but that's just the way we've been doing it. So I try to get people to say, how do you know when to do this? You know, or what would be a better strategy than the one you've been using? And get them to be thoughtful about it.
Yeah, I can't disagree.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I think what people do need to know about you, though, Zach, is that you have the understanding. It's not like you have always felt great about yourself and always looked great and all of the things that we've talked about already. You really do understand where people are, and I think that's what makes you the Mindset Jedi, because you've done the transformation and you're not Mr. Perfect who doesn't get where they are. And that's really important, because I think when people think about a trainer, they're almost feeling like, well, this person's perfect. So, you know. Yeah. In fact, do you deal with that at all? Do you have people who...
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, do you have people who, you know, you talk to about training and they say, well, they kind of look at you, or you can tell that they're kind of scared, or they think, well, bully for you, you look great, but I don't know that you'll understand my problem. Like, how do you get over that when you're talking to somebody?
Empathy. Just empathy. I mean, I just try to listen. I have been doing a lot of talking. I prefer asking a lot of questions, frankly. I mean, everybody's different. They're coming from different circumstances. I just try to sit back and listen to what is blocking them, what exactly is slowing them down, why they're having issues, and I try to help them with the root cause of the problem. You know, because a lot of people are complaining about outcome A and B, right? But cause isn't A or B. Cause is C or D, right? Or you know, X, right? So...
Right.
I try to sit back and ask a lot of questions, take in everything I can, and think about it critically. It's like, okay, is this person, by the end of the conversation, by the end of the consultation, generally, I have a pretty good idea of like where it comes from, and what it's affecting. You know, because some people are like, oh yeah, like I'm unhappy in my marriage, or I'm unhappy with this thing in my workplace, you know? And, you know, I think if I just like lost 20 pounds, it would all be good. and you know, but it's really not about that, right? It's really mm-hmm. like, I don't have the courage, the confidence, the sheer, you know, chutzpah to get through this problem on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if I just have a laboratory or a place to build momentum, maybe I'll be able to. So I really just try to do a lot of listening and make sure that I'm never giving someone something they don't need or something that, you know, I always want to make sure first and foremost that I'm putting my clients' needs first.
They just have to trust that.
Go ahead.
No, I love that, and I can't believe that we are already about out of time. What I want to do is let people know, first of all, thank you, because this has been an amazing interview, and we want to have you back another time when we can actually be on camera. But you are offering a 30-minute free consultation to people, and though you can't see it on your screen, folks, you would go to zachherman.fitness.com/book-a-consultation. And if you can't write all that down, just go to zachhermanfitness.com and you'll see a link to book a consultation. And he will give you a free 30-minute consultation. Zach, thank you so much for joining us, and just really, I think your insights are so spot on, and maybe next time we'll get some people calling in.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
I just want to thank you guys for having me.
maybe someday. Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's been a pleasure, truly.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming.
And folks, that's the new reality show. Thank you for joining us. Next week, we will be on camera. And have a good night and a good week.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/newrealityshow for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.